Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get there, I think you'll like it. Comes on Sunday, gets you ready for the week ahead, or comes by email. That one is by email. The blog, which is another way we send information to you, so you don't have to come get it if you don't want to, is we do that. Syndication. That's a fairly new technology that people are starting to use these days. I think you're going to like it if you find out more about it. And you can find out more about it on the blog page at our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. But we send you that Monday through Friday. And it's a multimedia blog. How many of those have you seen lately? Not too many of those. You get an article and all of the interviews that I've done today on any given day. And that comes out every weekday. And we'll send it to you. Or you can come get it and go to smallbusinessadvocate.com or jimsblog.biz. Karen Post is all over our website. She's deposited so much outstanding information with us over the years as a great member of our brain trust and focusing on branding, which, as you know, is one of my favorite topics to talk about. She's a branding expert. She's brain tattoos, and she's our good friend. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here. Thank you.
It's good to have you back. Karen, I told somebody yesterday that we were talking about our companies, and this guy's company had just had to completely reinvent themselves about 5 or 6 years ago. And I said, I believe that in today's world, any professional or any organization not in the process of reinventing themselves, either immediately or planning the next reinvention, is probably going to get way behind. What do you think?
Because life doesn't stop, you know, every day with technology and just attitudes of buyers, it's constantly changing. And if you're not staying five steps ahead of that, you are going to be left behind.
You've at least got to be thinking about it. You've got to be conscious. You know, the first thing you got to do is you got to be conscious of the fact that this is what's going on, and because you can't take steps to participate and to make those adjustments if you don't even know that you need to. You're sort of a don't know square. That you don't know, but if our professional lives and our organizations, our companies, are having to go through this reinvention, then that automatically means, Karen, that our brands are going through the same thing, doesn't it?
Absolutely. But I caution people that sometimes people will reinvent their brand or become a born again brand prematurely, and so I'd like to walk through three caution points that people need to be aware of. Like sometimes a company
born again brand.
Okay.
Now that's a new term that you've
It is. It is. It's
so
when you've been around and you've been a brand, but you've refocused and you've modified what you stand for based on what the market is buying and what they need. Sometimes it's minor. You know, it may be visual communication things. Sometimes it's a complete. It depends on the situations. But what I was speaking of is that sometimes companies will bring in a new employee. Maybe they give them responsibilities of marketing or new business development. And when they bring in that new person, suddenly that person wants to change everything to kind of prove it. Their being, and that's not the right reason for doing a rebrand.
Well, it might be a good reason to take a hard look at what you're doing.
Yeah, it can be a place to take a hard look, but caution that it does not necessarily mean that everything needs to change.
Right.
The second thing is companies sometimes get in with their brand, and even though they've thought it through and they've mapped it out, if it's not working within 30 days, they're thinking this is wrong. You've got to remember that buyers and consumers, it takes a while for a brand to build up in their minds. And so I caution people to just make sure that you've given it enough time to do it.
How do we know when we have given it enough time?
Excuse me, Jim. Say that question again.
How do we know when we've given it enough time?
Well, You can do it by polling your customers and asking them what they think about your brand, and if it aligns with what you planned it to be, then it's probably okay. And there might be some other areas that you need to work on that have to do with revenues and sales that really aren't directly about your core brand.
So
the last one, Jim, is sometimes companies just get tired of their brand, their look, their language. And big companies will do this a lot. I know you and I both know of companies that have had a tagline forever. We know it. We love it. And then all of a sudden, it's gone. And it's like, why did they change that? We knew.
Right.
We know the familiarity is important. And so you really got to make sure that you talk to your really getting as tired. So those are just three questions that you need to ask yourself if you're contemplating a rebrand.
So make sure that you're not doing it. Make sure you're changing for the right reason.
Absolutely.
And you know, I've known of people who came into an organization and they became, you know, like the product of the month, the fruit of the
right,
month.
Right, right.
You know, they came in with all these ideas and the boss gets excited and thinks that they know so much more than the people who've been there all along and they wander off on this wild goose chase and it's a mistake. Happened before, but the second one is the one that I want to land on for a second. Now that was the one. Remind us of your language. The
where people get impatient and they just get short-sighted,
right.
And they don't allow enough time.
They don't stick with the brand.
Right.
What I was thinking about there is. You said check with your customers. How do you know? I asked the question, how do you know? And you said check with your customers. You know, if your business is not doing, if you don't have enough sales. Might not be your brand's fault. If the customers that you have love what you do, then it's not the brand. You haven't found enough of those kinds of customers.
Absolutely, yeah. So there's a lot of different areas that you need to look at because you know the brand is really the sum of everything you do. Sales, it's customer service, it's product performance, it's your communication. So you need to go through every touch point and make sure that is aligned with. To be. And then if you do decide that you want to change your brand, whether your company's got a handful of people or you've got 20 people, make sure that everyone inside the organization is contributing to the change so that
right.
they feel like they own it and then start building it from inside and then take it to the external market.
Stand by, Karen. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, I've got a great golf analogy for all of this. I know you can't wait to hear that. We're going to do that right after these messages with our Karen Post will be back with us. She's the author of the Brain Tattoos. She is the branding diva. Stay with us.
Come from the cities and they come from the small towns. And beat up cars with guitars and drummers.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. We're rocking and rolling. Our good friend Karen Post here in the USA and beaming across the North American continent on the radio and worldwide on the internet. We're glad to be with us. Karen Post is here and she's the author of Brain Tattoos. Karen, we need your website desperately.
BrandingDiva.com.
And what do we find when we get there?
A bunch of great articles. You know, I write for Fast Company magazine every
right.
month, and you'll
right.
find links to all of those articles and just a lot of information about how to brand better.
Well, and folks, Karen does a great job, and she consults with a lot of very important companies, and she's just a great resource for this, and I hope you'll take advantage of it. The easiest thing to do is to buy her book, and the second easiest thing to do is to go and listen to some of the archives that she's deposited with us. In our Brain Trust section, and also check out her website. Karen, I want to come back to the number two issue of how do you know when you've gone your brand long enough if you think it may not be working for you. I was going to give you this great golf analogy. I used to really be down on my putting. I used to say, why am I not making more putts? And then I realized it was because all my putts were from 30 feet away. My point is I missed the green, my chipping was not getting me close enough to the hole. So my there wasn't anything wrong with my putting. It was my chipping. You know, see, so there may not be anything wrong with your brand. It may be how you execute your brand that's the problem. Maybe you're not looking for the right customers that would only in what you've got, which, as I mentioned earlier, Karen, or maybe your salespeople haven't been trained in how to sell your brand properly. Lots of different.
Absolutely. You know, so many times companies will invest money to develop a brand, and they forget about teaching and orientating their employees so they can become brand ambassadors. That's the most effective, least expensive way to build a brand, is building it through the inside out.
And then you got the case where your brand isn't a good brand, but you love it, and you keep shoving it down the throats of your customers, your prospects, and you're not asking them, or you're not listening to them when they say, "Hey, Jim, we don't like this."
Right, or it's not relevant to us, or you know, you're so focused on features and benefits that we don't care about. You know, try to focus on what's important to the customers. And then every now and then, a company will have some sort of unexpected disaster. With maybe a product performance or something bad happens. I mean, this is a bigger company that I'm going to use as an analogy, but if you think about ValueJet, when one of their planes went down, they rebranded themselves as AirTran, which they've been very successful. And this can even happen to smaller companies where something unexpected can happen. And many times that is the time that you've really got to relook at everything, and it makes good sense to be born again and come out with something.
Mm-hmm. And the third one, remind us of the third one.
And the third one is make sure that you're just not getting tired of it, because you see your brand communication every day. You know, you're looking at your website and your ads and all of that. But the average consumer, they get hit with 2,500 messages from all different kinds of companies. So they're not seeing and they're not as close to your brand as you are. So just remember that, and remember that a lot of times customers get tired of it, and don't just go in and change stuff just because one day, you know, you're sick of looking at it. That's not the good reason to go through a rebranding.
I actually think that there's more danger of the opposite happening with small businesses. I actually think that there's more danger of us falling in love with our brand and holding on to it too long when we should go. But here's the point that you make, and I think that I hope I'm making, Karen, is let your customers decide when to change the brand.
Right.
They're the ones pulling the wagon, aren't they?
Right, absolutely. And understand that, you know, it may be the logo that you need to look at, but it may be how you do your business or what your product looks like. There's a lot of different pieces that are part of your brand. And sometimes it just needs a little tweaking and a little updating, and you don't need a complete overall. And then sometimes a complete overall is good, because that gives you an opportunity to talk to your customers about something new. It's showing them that you are thinking about the future and thinking about better ways to serve them.
You know, Karen, I've got a great story, great brand story to tell. I was in Western Maryland about a month ago doing a live broadcast, remote broadcast. And I got to do something I've never done. I interviewed a guy. He had a creamery, an ice cream company. And he brought me ice cream to the show. And so I got to eat ice cream on the air. That was pretty cool. I'd never done that before. I know my... Love that. But he was telling me about this one kind of ice cream that I asked him. I said, what was the ice cream that you had that just didn't work? He has like 100 flavors or something like that. I said, what didn't work? He said, the peanut butter and jelly was our low seller. And I said, what did you do? He said, we renamed it. PBJ Swirl or Jelly Something Swirl. He named it, came up with something that didn't say peanut butter and jelly.
Hmm.
He said, now we can't. Stock.
Wow, that's amazing.
Same. I said the same ice cream. He said same ice cream.
Yeah.
You never know how you have to turn the screw to make customers want what you have.
But the big thing is you got to talk to your customers, whether it's setting up some questions on your internet or picking up the phone and calling them or whatever. But that's the most important piece here.
Thank you, Karen, for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next time.
Have a great week. Bye.
Karen Post, ladies and gentlemen. Brain Tattoos is her book. Break right back with our new friend Raphael Pastor right after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.